Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 565, the not box office report for the week ending April 5th, 2020, the year of the corona.
And a palindrome episode.
Oh, yeah. How exciting.
Well, for some of us, at least.
Yeah, I don't like math in the first place, so like number things, I'm just like, whatever.
You know, with everything going on in the world, you got to find the little things that give you some happiness.
Well, that is a little thing, so there's that.
It is. It's very.
So I guess before we get started, let's go around the virtual table and we can introduce ourselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. So we can't get a hold of Joe this morning. We're not too terribly worried about his health because, first off, who cares? Second, no, we care. He was online last night talking about wrestling. Was there a big wrestling thing or something?
Yeah, it's the two-night... Oh, geez, I'm going to have to ding myself here. It was the big two-night WrestleMania empty house event, you know, where there's no audience. Usually WrestleMania is in a big arena or dome where it's like 75, 85,000 people. And last night and tonight, they pre-recorded it, and it is in an empty training facility. So, like, all the bells and whistles that would usually be associated with a WrestleMania, like the huge video screens, and sometimes they build a roller coaster over the stadium and all this crazy stuff. It's like you're going to see a house show in St. Louis when they come to town.
Gotcha.
But no people. I mean, there are some people, at least, when they come to town, but this is, like, empty. They have no lights on the chairs, you know, so they're trying to make it not look glaringly obvious. But
sure.
But what they still do, which I thought was funny, because I did watch it with Ryan last night, and it was pretty funny. It was hard to look away. But before each match, they've got like the Michael Buffer type ring announcer, and they still are like, and in this corner, weighing in at blah, 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 blah. And then they're like, you know, whatever, Goldberg. And then it goes like this. It's like they're announcing, and usually it would be cheers and crazy. Like,
right.
I don't know why they didn't do an audio package or some kind of cool video introduction or something. Like, they literally do the announcement and then hold for applause, and it's empty. Like, it was bizarre.
Yeah, that's weird to hold for the applause. What they probably should have done was emulate, like, how they do the Olympics. You know,
because
The Olympics typically doesn't. I mean, there's a crowd there, but it's not like. It just never seems like it's this, you know, especially when you're getting to events that really don't lend themselves to spectating, like the luge, you know?
The 500-mile shuffleboard.
Right. Like, it's like there's not, like, these huge cheering crowds, like, but they still make it work. I think dubbing in fake noise would have been weird, though, I think, because everybody knows it's not really going on.
Yeah, I get that. And the thing is, too, that there was a lot of post-production in this one because, again, I've never seen, you know, in all of my years, I mean, I haven't watched a lot recently, but when I was a kid, you know, and I used to watch the pay-per-views or go to the shows or whatever, but I've never seen like a non-live event. Usually, you know, they're pay-per-views, so they're all live. And this one, since they had a week, I could tell that like during the match, they seem to strategically place replays and things to where I think they maybe did stuff a couple different times and like edited the match to look the best because this is the first time they could do that.
Right.
Now, don't quote me on that. I'm not saying this is the first time, but it looked like they were using the pre-recorded feed to their advantage and cutting the best match they could. But then that begs to differ. Like if this was all in post, which clearly we know it was, pardon me, and they had a week, why did they not, like, when they introduced them, edit it in a better manner? You know, like, why didn't they fix it?
Yeah, you got me, man. Anyway,
it was weird. It was weird, though. I mean, it was fun for what it was. Like, Ryan's kind of fallen out of wrestling, and that's why we don't watch it anymore. Like, I got the network for him, and we used to watch it together, and he told me his friends don't like it anymore, you know, so it's not cool with the friends, so he doesn't really care as much. But after we watched it, he's like, oh, I think I like wrestling again. Like, he had fun with it.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, so it was interesting to say the least. But what I will say though, there was one. It was the main event of this night because again, when the people are hearing this, both nights will have aired. But we're recording the morning of day two WrestleMania, and the main event of last night was The Undertaker. Yes, that Undertaker. He still wrestles.
Okay.
And another guy, I think AJ Styles was the other guy. It was the main event, and they recorded it. They called it a Boneyard match. This is what Joe was talking about last week, if you remember. So basically it's a graveyard match, but they call it a boneyard match, and they were on some farm somewhere, and it was all like production. It wasn't like two cameras around a ring or anything like that. They basically cut it like a movie. So I've never seen anything like this before. They had like five or six cameras. They had pyrotechnics, like the Undertaker would actually set things on fire, which is just weird because I mean, it's like we know this is wrestling, and then the Undertaker's shooting flames out of the anyway, so they would like cut from all these different angles, and people were jumping off the barn, and then at the end it was so cheesy. The Undertaker takes a bobcat and scoops up a bunch of dirt, and then like this match is, since it's a boneyard match, you actually bury the other person, or I don't know if it's supposed to be a surprise, it was obvious, but the other guy falls on the ground, or he puts him there, and then the Undertaker takes the bobcat and he dumps the dirt into the grave. But like, you know, the camera's only on the Undertaker. It's not like they're showing the guy get buried, so clearly he's not in there. But you know, it was like all these camera angles that made it look like a short film or something.
If it's like a short film though, like why not show the guy in the
I know, like I don't know why they couldn't have just like done it to where, you know, they could have cut it a certain way or whatever special effects. But the point being, the weird part of it is that even if wrestling is staged, they do a lot of really cool physical stunts, and that's the entertainment factor. You actually can be like, wow, they jumped from a really high thing and they're doing all this. They're actually, you know, getting hurt sometimes, and there is some physical impressiveness to it. But watching wrestling in a film like, you know, edited way where you know that they did many takes and everything, I don't understand the appeal, because now you've taken away, at least wrestling looks real when they're doing it, but now it looks like a movie, and we know movies aren't real. So I don't know. It was just a really strange combination.
Yeah, that is odd. Like, you think if you're going to do that, then you really, maybe they're afraid to up the ante too much, because when they go back, it'll make things look worse. You know,
that's
what I mean?
True, because I mean, I did hear some chatter, and Joe can tell you when he gets online. I see him. He just messaged me saying his Skype wasn't working, so he's probably going to jump on here. But I think he liked it, and I heard some other people say it was cool. So like, I guess people enjoyed the gimmick of it. But to me, I'm like, well, now you've taken away the only thing. Like, you know, it clearly wasn't a live or a one take match. So I mean, you could edit anything to look cool. You could edit things over days, or you know, do 20 takes. Like when you're watching wrestling, you're supposed to think it's real. And when you're watching like a movie of people wrestling, I don't know, it didn't work for me.
Totally. Yeah, you can make me look like a badass wrestler.
Hell yeah.
With enough editing.
Let's do it.
me, be like Liam Neeson jumping a fence.
What a great analogy, though. I mean, these guys obviously are professionals and have done a lot of matches, so I wouldn't say it was like on that level, but I think that gets the point across to where, you know, what they did in Taken 3 with Liam Neeson doing the fence like that, like basically this match looked like it was cutting from all these different angles and different takes to where clearly they were assembling it. So, I mean, you know, kind of had the same effect in the end.
Well, I think it's, there's a great deal of irony that we just talked about wrestling for 5 minutes and Joe's not here.
Yeah, well, it's over. I mean, we can't do it anymore. You know the rules. So.
Yeah, those are the rules. So when he gets here, it'll be too late. So
he says he's updating Skype, so you can do your plugs, and then we'll jump him
okay.
in.
Okay. Well, shameless plugs, don't forget we're available on Apple Podcasts where you can go rate, review, subscribe. You should always subscribe wherever you're getting your podcast so you never miss an episode. Of course, check out our Facebook page at facebook.com/RealSpoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group, and you can share an episode in real life. And I just realized as I sat down, I completely forgot to tabulate the League of Show Sharers. So my
what
apologies.
A morning.
I know. It's just everything's all discombobulated. I blame the Rona. So,
good as any reason, I guess.
We'll get everybody next week. Sorry about that, guys. But we do still appreciate it. It's just I forgot. I'm getting older. I'll be 50 this year, so got to contend with that. I know, right?
So
imagine how I feel.
Senior moment, huh?
Yes. So, and of course, don't forget our Patreon, patreon.com/realspoilers, where for $5 a month, you can get all sorts of bonus content, and you help us out, and we really appreciate that. So there is all that. So no Joe yet.
No Joe yet. He is updating his Skype.
Well, we will just have to move on without him. So there's no box office, literally. So I don't know what stories we got.
Well, I think one of the biggest story was this AMC story that was getting shared around the internet, and people had a lot to say about it and think about it. I mean, AMC is, I believe they're the biggest theater chain in the world. Would I be incorrect in saying that?
I think so.
They're the biggest.
There are some big chains that aren't in this market, so
yeah.
We're not necessarily aware of them, but I'm pretty sure it's the biggest.
I'm pretty sure. And so it clearly if it's not the biggest, it's up there, but I believe it's the largest in the world, and they their stock's been dipping. I sent some stuff to Tom the last couple weeks while this was happening, and you can see it go down over the past month or so. It goes from $13 to, you know, just down, and it was sitting around 2 something the last time I looked. So it is not good for their company's value, and they started doing a bunch of articles recently. I can't remember who broke the story, but I searched for it this morning and The Wrap had an article, and the title is AMC's credit rating downgraded by S&P with recovery unlikely. And that's the gloom and doom of all the articles, saying that it's going to be unlikely that AMC can continue when all this, you know, is over, and we don't know how long that will be. But because of their credit rating, it went from a B credit rating, meaning lend them more money, to CCC-.
Yikes.
I don't know. I guess there's lots of different grades of C. You'd think C is average, but it has, that's not an error. It has 3 C's and a minus. And so they're saying basically that their lenders can't collect. They're not paying anyone. I don't know if we announced it last episode, but the company has furloughed all of their employees, and it says even their board members. So like they're not paying people, they're not paying their lenders, and I guess if they don't do that, then they'll have to file bankruptcy and see if they can reorganize. But I mean, it's a lot of gloom and doom in these articles.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it's a rough time. Hey, Joe's here.
Hi, sorry, the computer decided to be a jerk off, so that's always fun.
Well, that's typically what you use your computer for.
Yeah. Well, I mean, no, I have my phone for that. That's different.
Especially when your wife's got the Rona.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right.
Real quick, are you recording on Audacity, Joe?
It's coming up now.
Okay, because we just jumped into it just to.
Okay, cool.
You know, yeah. We'll wait for you to press record.
She can't even get mad at you.
No. No, I'm not gonna call it a hall pass.
But, yeah. Right, but it's like
it's a little different.
It's a study hall pass.
Yeah, exactly. All right, I'm recording all.
Okay, study hall pass. That's funny. Yeah. All right, so if we could back up and do all those jokes again real quick. No.
Well, you know so what? You will have the audio on my Skype file.
Yeah. I'll be able to get him in the lower quality jumping in. I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
So we're just talking about AMC real quick,
yeah.
Joe.
So my guess real quick, just on the CCC minus thing, is my guess is, and again, I know nothing about this, but my instinct tells me that they probably have set the situation up to not give out Fs. And that an F would basically be like, you're just flat out fraudulent. You know what I mean?
So CCC minus is probably like, you're not C, you're not CC, you're not right. CCC, you're CCC minus, meaning you're basically what we would consider an F.
It's almost right. like and, your parents saying, like, I'm not mad at you, I'm just really disappointed.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, and also, like, they're not out to scam people, but, like, the deck is definitely stacked against them, and they sounds like right. they've been carrying too much debt. And, you know, and I'm sure that they probably have a lot of debt because, you know, you've had to do a lot of remodeling on theaters over the last few years.
Yeah, they probably, I mean, they've probably gutted every single one of their theaters, at least here in St. Louis.
Yeah.
And, they all got, like, a fresh paint of coat.
I wouldn't go too crazy, not the one that Tom and I go to.
Well, that's fair.
That stands to reason. Yeah, like, I love the mural that they have up, and it's still of, like, of what's supposed to be, like,
current
movies
yeah.
that people love, and they're still like Apollo 13
yeah.
and Apollo 13 is a great movie, but I don't know that it, you know, it resonates within the public zeitgeist in perhaps quite the same way as when that mural was crafted.
No,
but I have to believe that the Avalon, that's not even a theater anymore. The Esquire, they gutted that thing to the studs.
Well,
I mean that could not have been a cheap renovation.
Well,
to
and here's
completely renovate that entire theater.
Here's the other thing with all those renovations: they spend all that money to renovate, and they lower their capacity every time they do it.
Oh, yeah. sure, with those new seats and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I mean, I know they're hoping to make more money off the improved concessions and you know, bringing food to you in your seat. Although I've noticed that. The dine-in ones now, they only wait on you at your seat like on the weekends. Like if you go in on a weekday, they're just like, go to the stand and
yeah.
and then if you order something, if you order something too complex, someone will bring it to you, but they're not actually like waiting on you, and they won't let you tip them.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah, because like the lady brought me the thing. And I tipped her because she's still bringing it to me, you know.
And
she's like, "Oh, we're not allowed to take tips." And I was just like, "That's dumb. Take the money." And she's like, "I'm a manager," because it's like I've had non-managers take the tips, but the managers are always like,
"Oh,
yeah, I can't." And I guess the manager's making way better money theoretically,
right?
But
that
may be
managers that are salaried or whatever can't take the tips.
Oh, maybe it's that, because I was just, I don't know, though, man. When I tipped the one guy, I could tell he kind of, like, looked around, like, not supposed to be doing this. Yeah.
Gotcha.
And I'm just like, I'm not going to tip you and then go rat you out. What kind of...
You're a secret tipper.
Yeah.
Secret tipper.
Like, what kind of a dick bag does that?
Well, so, yeah, I don't know. It's crazy. I mean... We talked about this. We've been talking for years, I mean, at least months, about the decline of theaters and the possibility of things going straight to streaming and with Netflix picking up steam. Like, we've been having this discussion on the podcast for a while now. And we always, before all this mess happened with the virus, we talked about, like, what would it be like and could it actually happen and everything. And now we have movies going straight to VOD. We've got the first... straight to VOD main release, which will be Trolls this week. Everything else has gotten that shortened release window that once theaters closed, they brought them all to VOD.
Well, it was like pretty much everything that they've released. This is the first big release, right? Like this is the first one that we, oh, I guess A Quiet Place 2 was, we were technically supposed to do that last week, right? Like that was on the release slate. So like, I feel like Trolls is the first movie to come out like that was going to get a big release and now isn't. Is that
right.
fair?
Right.
Well,
that's what I was saying.
A Quiet Place would have been a major release. I mean that movie was huge.
Yeah, but that has been pulled completely. Like Trolls, what Kevin was saying, Trolls 2 is the first one that we would have covered next week.
That's
that
come to
we could
VOD.
Actually still cover.
Yeah.
Everything else has been released in theaters.
But there probably would have been a lot. We didn't cover the first Trolls movie. My guess is there would have been a live action movie that we probably would have gravitated to over Trolls.
Oh, sure.
No, that's, no. The point is just that Trolls is the first to go straight to VOD and skip theaters, where all the other ones have either been delayed or they've had 1 week or 2 weeks in theaters and they went to VOD to try to make up some money.
Right.
So, like, even Bloodshot was a few days in theaters, then got the release. So,
well, that's because it sucked. That was, they were going to do that anyway.
So, I mean, the point is that since we've been talking about this and now this is happening, and then we see the world's biggest theater chain with articles saying they don't know if they can recover, like, this is not looking good for theaters.
No, and it's funny, like, we talked about, Spielberg said this. Remember Spielberg said, oh, man, however long ago that was, like, that theaters are going to become almost like a going to the theater. And what I mean by the theater is, like, seeing plays and musicals.
I believe, like, you mean the theater.
The theater, excuse
me. That's the theater.
Yes,
thank you very much.
Pardon me. But, like, maybe he was right. You know, like, if AMC, I feel like if AMC closes, I don't know how Marcus or any of those, you know, at least in St. Louis, Marcus is the second theater chain. I don't know how they survive. Like, you know, if the biggest theater chain in the United States closes, how do the smaller ones survive?
Well, there'd be less competition, so maybe that's how
I guess
survive.
That's true. That's true.
But I also think that, like, the, you know, the corporate entities that operate them might go out of business and change hands, but I don't think that you're going to see a world where there are no longer theaters. You know,
oh, that's
somewhere
fair.
Someone will step in and buy the remains and then, you know, and relaunch either under that name or under a different name. But I just don't see them going away. And I don't think the studios want theaters to go away. They just want to shorten that window. But I don't, because they make too much money. And the right. The problem with that long window, and the window has gotten shorter, it's not that long, but the problem with that long window is every week a movie is in release, the studio keeps less of the receipts. And so by the time you get to that fourth or fifth week, they're making practically nothing in most cases because the theaters themselves are keeping a larger portion. And so there's no real incentive. And even when they are keeping a lot, I think in their minds, they're like, well, if we can dump this onto VOD while it's hot, you know, we're going to make more money than sitting there letting it play out for another 4 weeks in Topeka and getting 30 to 40% of the box office revenue. And so, you know, they certainly don't want to give up those $100 and $150 million opening weekends. So, like, and it'll be interesting to see. Like, I wish these box office sites, and maybe the studios aren't releasing the information, but I would love to know, like, how many people rented Trolls this weekend.
Right.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's also, like, does that mean that, like, nothing will touch Avengers again? Like, in this new, whatever happens coming out of this thing, and if maybe they do get a shortened window, does that mean Avengers Endgame will be the highest grossing film of all time for all time?
Potentially, or you could see them start to reconfigure how they calculate that, because they've done that with music, right? Like, it used to be based on how many, you know, if you go back long enough, you know, your Billboard placement was based on, you know, radio play and how many 45s you sold, right? And
then
the rise of CDs, the label stopped putting out 45s because they wanted to make you buy, you know, an $18 CD so you could get, you know, Walking on the Sun by Smash Mouth, and and not that I'm bitter, and, you know, so it's like, so they had to reconfigure, and then when iTunes came in, they had to reconfigure, and then when YouTube came in, they reconfigured, when streaming came in, they reconfigured, what, you know, so that's why when you see these things about, like, Drake's the first artist to have every song on his album in the top 10, and I'm just like, yeah, but that's kind of a BS statistic, because the Beatles didn't release every song off their record simultaneously, right? Where now you kind of do if you get enough traction, if you get enough heat, and you kind of go viral, like you can get every song off of an album to chart in a way that you never could previously. So, but so my guess is they would figure out some new way to kind of calculate that.
But, you know, they may change the way they do it. But to Joe's point, like, this very well could be, that could be the last movie that gets the highest, you know, worldwide box office statistic. Like, you know, yeah, with things changing, if the, either the window shortens or they change the way movies are released, if we do eventually go to an all digital format, I mean, yeah, I can't see those type of numbers being that high. I mean, it doesn't mean they won't be very high, but right, to reach that type, you have to have a cultural phenomenon. You have to have an Avatar, which introduced 3D technology and was right place, right time. The Avengers, the culmination of 23 films. Like, you know, those numbers are based on nowadays. I mean, they used to be when they were only in the hundreds of millions, it was different. But 2 billion and 2.7 billion, like, those type of movies are, you can't say once in a lifetime, but I mean, those are cultural phenomenons. Those are the outliers for sure.
Yeah,
yeah. It's we were talking about, like, what, to me, this is, you know, we talked about last week that, like, the number is 3,000. To me, this is a 9/11 event. Like, this is going to change everything. And
oh, yeah,
like 9/11 did. Like, the world changed when 9/11 happened, right? Like, I was telling my daughter, my oldest, I was like, man, when I was a kid, you could, like, when you would go to the airport, you could just walk up to the gate. Like, you'd walk through security and you'd walk up to the gate and that's where people would come out and you can meet
greet
them,
people, like, and eat with them and drop them off.
Yeah,
and,
like, at, yeah, at the, when they walk off the plane, you didn't have to stand, like, at the baggage area. And she just could not fathom it. She just, you know, there were just so many different things that I didn't even realize that she has no idea about. And I think this, when this is over, is going to do something, maybe not, like, in your day-to-day life, but I think businesses and, you know, the whole business landscape is going to be completely different by August, maybe.
I don't know though, Joe, because I agree with you in your first sentiment for sure, because, you know, I think life is going to change at least for a long time after this, because we're really hyper aware of this thing. You know, obviously it's always important to wash your hands, use sanitizer and all that. But, like, now that the stakes are so high, I think that people are going to be, you know, more worried about what they touch and touching their face. And,
yeah,
and I think people are going to be scared for a while, because I'll tell you right now, I think this is important to say these numbers, because each one of these podcasts is a little time capsule and you can kind of judge where we were when people eventually listen to these, go back, whatever. But right now in the U.S., which I don't even know if this is when the last time this was updated. This was updated fairly recently this morning. There have been 8,454 deaths in the U.S. alone, which is it's approaching three times 9/11, and we're nowhere near done with this thing. And
yeah,
I'll tell you right
start,
now, if you
we're going
to
start the, having a, we're going to start having like a 9/11 a day.
Right. And
yeah.
And
yeah, yeah.
And I'm looking at the chart right now just to give you an idea. At this point in time, we're recording this the morning of April 5th, the last few days. So March 31st, we saw 912. And that's the first time we were like, wow, we're almost 1,000 deaths a day. Then on April 1st, we had 1,049 deaths. On April 2nd, we had 974. On April 3rd, we had 1,045. And yesterday on April 4th, we had 1,331 deaths.
It's, yeah. I mean, it's staggering.
It's horrible.
I think the bigger problem you're going to see, I mean, outside of, like, you know, piling up dead bodies, is
look like the guys from Holy Grail.
Yeah, I know, right? But I think the bigger problem you're going to see is there's still this split between people that just don't take it seriously,
man.
And so you're going to start to see, like, simple things, like, and I don't mean right now, but when this starts to wind down, you're going to start to see simple things like handshaking is going to be a political act, right?
Yeah.
And so,
oh, sure,
like,
sure.
And so if you don't want to shake somebody's hand, you're going to have somebody that's going to be like, you lib, you know? And, yeah. and I mean, and I'm seeing it right. I mean, I'm seeing it my Facebook and Twitter feed. Like, and this isn't people sharing things to where it's like, who knows if it's true. These are like first generation posts from people I know in real life. I've seen two of them that were like, I went out wearing a face covering as was suggested by the president.
Correct.
Right.
Even though he said he won't do it, we should do it. He shouldn't. So it's like taxes. But but the president says to do it, and people are like, "Pussy, what are you like?
Yeah.
What are you so paranoid about?" And I'm like, "What? 1,300 people died yesterday? Maybe that's what I'm paranoid about? Like, why?
Is it paranoia at this point or just precaution? I'm not the one being paranoid.
Right. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. And so I think you're still going to see these things that used to be like just rudimentary, mundane, taken for granted acts of socialization are now going to be politicized, and where you land on them says something about who you vote for or what you believe. And that's weird. And I think it's also driving people further apart, because I know I've gotten to the point where I'm like, I'm sorry, if you're still going around saying this is no big deal, you're f-ing dumb, and I don't care anymore. You're f-ing dumb. Yeah. And if it means you don't listen to this podcast, I could give two f-ing. Like, you're f-ing stupid if you think this isn't a big deal. End of story, hard stop.
It's coming to the point where the numbers are going up and up and up, and so you logically is getting to the point where it's harder to keep denying it, and especially when, you know, the president's changed his opinion on it. You know, I think a month ago it was a hoax, and now it's, you know, serious. And they've sent out guidelines. You know, they're saying wear a mask. He admitted that 100,000 to 200,000 could die by the end of this. Like, everything that we've been saying for a month is now actually being addressed by the government. So I think it's going to be harder to deny it. But for the people that still do, it's like, what is it going to take? I mean, the numbers are going to get so high that statistically people are going to start, like, everyone's going to know someone, or that means some people are going to be really close to people that are going to pass away.
Absolutely.
And once they see it happening, I have to think that, you know, they'll have to be able to take it seriously, but it's a shame that it comes to that, because clearly it's too late by then, and this could have been.
They'll take it seriously, you know. but they'll blame it on the wrong thing.
It's crazy. Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
It's
it's always somebody else's fault.
Yeah.
Well, it's a shame, because, you know, Tom and I, and the weird thing is, like, Tom and I are not. I would not describe us as, like, political activists or anything.
If,
like,
you go on my Facebook page, if you go on my Facebook page and you see the people that I've gotten my picture taken with, Bill O'Reilly, Sean Hannity, Glenn Beck, Sarah Palin, like, I am not some dyed-in-the-wool, like, bleeding-heart liberal. That is not who I am. That is not my pedigree. I was the guy in college that was encouraging my friends to buy copies of The Way Things Ought to Be by Rush Limbaugh. That's who I was. And this guy doesn't know what he's doing. He is certified. He has a severe mental disorder. I know, because I was married to someone just like him. And and I saw it coming like it was on a highway in Kansas. And like, it's... This is the darkest timeline.
So the deal is, like, so we're, you know, to Tom's point, even, you know, more so with that, it's like, we're not the type of people that are usually going around saying this stuff, but I've, just like Tom, I've made it a big deal to spread these numbers and try to educate people, because this is such a serious thing, and it's not political. Like, the virus has no politics. The virus, the data is out there.
Yeah, the virus doesn't care who you voted for.
Yeah, and that's what we're going to start realizing.
The interesting thing about the way this is breaking out politically, though, is that I could envision a scenario in which Donald Trump loses the election because he ended up killing off enough of his own voters.
I don't mean to laugh, but that's
I mean, it sounds funny, but I really don't mean, like, it's like, because the people who aren't taking it seriously are the people who are more inclined to vote for him. And he won by a quirk of the electoral map. And he, you know, if you had, I think it's like 70,000 or 80,000 votes swing a different direction over the course of like three states, he wouldn't have been president. And when you see the numbers we're about to rack up, it doesn't strain credulity to think that, like, enough that his base is going to be disproportionately reflected in those numbers, because they're the ones that are out there saying, you're dumb for wearing a mask.
It's just the flu.
You're not going to stop me from going to church. I'm good. You know what I mean? And so it's like, yeah, I mean, I think that could be a thing.
Well, it's sad.
I didn't even think about that.
It's the numbers. The biggest problem is, and that's why I try to educate everyone and say, stay at home. And here's the reason why. And here's how it's different is because when you go out, when you decide to go out and you're just breathing the same air, when you're out at these stores, whatever stores are left, and then the old people go out to try to get their groceries, like,
yep.
You may be fine. You may be healthy and you're going to get over this, but you've breathed on and you've touched and you've coughed and you've done everything around all these essential items. And then they go to bring them home and you're affecting people that are older and have immune deficiencies. And so this isn't about you, you know, capitalized Y-O-U. You have to start thinking about the, you know, the health of the entire country and the entire world, because this thing, I mean, more and more data is coming out that it sticks around longer and it can live in the air for a lot longer. And, you know, first they said, oh, it's not airborne. Now tests are showing that particles are sticking around in the air. So we're still, I mean, we're
that is the crazy part is like it's constantly changing.
Yeah.
Right. Because no one
constantly changing.
It's a new thing. That's the thing. Like this strain of it, like we've had other coronaviruses and you've seen how they've wiped out huge amounts of people. I mean, because you've got SARS, you've got MERS, like these are all different coronaviruses, but this is a different strand. And so they're still discovering how it acts. And so, I mean, my biggest thing that I'm telling everyone, and I'll say it again on this podcast, just stay at home. You do not want to spread this to people that can't fight it, and you don't want to get it even if you're young and healthy, because look at the people in Italy. Look at the people in Germany. Like, they're 20-something-year-olds, 30-something-year-olds on ventilators. They're dying no matter what their age is, and they even, had even it the, first.
Even the people that get it and get better are like, that is the worst thing I've ever had. Like, they're like, this isn't just, oh, I had the flu and I threw up a couple times and I was sick for 24 hours. They're like, that was awful.
Yeah.
You know?
So. Yeah. It's, I mean, we're, let's see, I'm going back to work on Tuesday, but I have not worked. I've not been to work. We've been in this house for 14 days. And I think as of, like 2 days ago is the first day that my wife said she started to feel, she's like, I didn't realize how sick I was until I felt better. And then I realized how sick I was. But yeah, like it's not, you know, and again, I don't want to downplay like her symptoms, you know, were not as bad as not the worst.
Right.
And that's the thing is like, I could have it and I don't even know it.
Right.
So you guys haven't any other than your wife.
No, I mean, so Gwen and I both have, so like I've had a cough, but it's subsiding recently, like probably in the last 2 days, it's kind of gone away for the most part. Gwen, has had like this tiny little, and it's not even noticeable, honestly. Like I thought it was just allergies for real. Like she would, like sniff and then she'd have like this one tiny cough, no coughing fits. Like just this little, like clearing your throat is the best way I could describe
mm-hmm.
it.
Yeah.
And that's it. Like the Bella hasn't had anything. I haven't had any. I have no fever. None of us have this entire time. None of us, my wife included, have ran a fever.
Wow.
Run a fever? Have run a fever? Have ran a fever?
We had a fever.
Either way, none of us have had a fever.
Walked a fever, depending on how active you are.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so she would, like I said, she would just kind of like randomly at certain times of the day break out into, she being my wife, pronouns, would just break into sweats. Like her fever, like she would have a fever that would break, but no fever.
Hmm.
Like she would take her temperature and there'd be no fever.
That's weird.
It was very weird.
Well,
so yeah.
I'm glad everyone's getting better and I'm glad that you guys didn't get it that bad. But that's, I mean, I think that's the perfect example that your family, you're young, you're healthy, no underlying issues that would cause concern. And then if you guys wrote it off as a cold, if she didn't get the test and know she'd been exposed, she'd keep going to work. She'd touch stuff. They'd bring it home.
Oh, yeah.
They'd touch stuff. People there would get sick. They'd go touch. I mean, it's just that exponential growth.
Her clientele or her the community that she helps is probably the most susceptible to this disease. So a disease virus, I guess it's not really a disease. So Lord knows how many people she would have spread this to.
Yeah.
If she had gone back to work and how many people could have died, you know, like there are people at her job right now who are also exposed, via different means who are experiencing exactly what you're seeing online. And you know, it's terrifying. It is absolutely terrifying because there's no rhyme or reason to it. It's just like
You have it a little bit, you have it a lot of bit. There's just no consistency.
Yeah. So anyway, take it seriously. We really hope that all our listeners, and we hope everyone is clearly, but you know, for people listening, if you're one of the people that doesn't take it as seriously, like, just get educated, read about it. It's not political. The virus doesn't care.
Don't listen to Dr. Drew.
just do your own research. Don't just say, oh, well, I heard one thing or I saw a funny meme. Like, look at the numbers.
Speaking of Dr. Drew, I saw someone posted on YouTube a clip of like all the contradictory things he said, and it was like a 2-minute clip that just and it's been pulled down for copyright violation by Drew Pinsky.
Wow. Yeah,
that guy, like, I remember that dude was like the coolest doctor, right? Like,
right.
He was on Loveline and he was on Celebrity Rehab and all that stuff. And then he kind of went away for a little bit because I guess, you know, the man, I don't know, like, he just dropped out. And then he got back onto the Tom Segura podcast. Like, he would show up and they would show him these weird TikTok videos and he would be like, oh my God. Like, you know, he diagnosed the person doing the whatever they were doing. And then he got his own podcast again. And then this came out and it's just like, you're done, bro. I don't know how. There's just so many times where he's like, it's the flu. Don't take the subway. You're okay. Like, this is not that serious. More people died. There's hundreds of clips of him just being like, nope, no big deal. Nope, no big deal.
That's awful. I had no idea he was denying it like that.
I think he's a supporter.
Yeah.
If you catch my drift as well. So,
well, that's, I mean, again, it's all going to change the more people, like, I don't know what your number is, and I'm just talking to the generic you, but like, I mean, these numbers for months, I mean, over a month have been high enough for Tom and I know, you know, and I'm sure Joe feels the same way, but you know, the numbers were really high back then and even the infection numbers and around the world. So like, just do your education, try to learn about this thing. Don't just follow hearsay or TV internet doctors or whatever. Like, you know, just listen to the government, you know, health officials, listen to the Dr. Fauci guy and listen to the researchers that are doing the studies and, you know, form your own opinion, but it's definitely scary. The last thing I wanted to do before we jump off of this AMC thing is I just wanted to mention, like, the comparison that I, you know, bringing this back to theaters closing and will they reopen or can they reopen in the same manner? To me, it seems like bookstores. Like, bookstores used to be a huge thing. I used to love going to Barnes & Noble and Borders, like the little mom and pop ones, the Books A Million. You know, there are different chains all over. And as far as I know, Barnes & Noble is the last one limping along. And, you know, those were big box stores I never thought would go under. So when theaters come back, it may be one of these things where, like, yeah, most everyone gets their stuff on Kindle. You know, most everyone gets their stuff on VOD. And some people go to the Barnes & Noble, a.k.a. the one big theater chain that's still out. You know, it may change to that kind of a thing.
Yeah, it absolutely might. I was listening to a podcast the other day called Decoder Ring. And they, like, drill down on, like, just weird little pop culture avenues. And they did an episode about You've Got Mail.
Yeah.
And how the plot of that movie now feels like it's a million years ago, because the plot was that Tom Hanks runs this kind of like corporate bookstore that's, you know, kind of aping the ideas of the independent bookstores, but then also having really low prices. And then he opens up across from this really beloved independent bookstore. And like, how is this independent bookstore going to survive? And that now you look back on it and you're like, oh, well, neither of you are going to survive. Like,
right.
And the idea of painting a bookstore as a villain at all seems like ridiculous, just because you know what's coming, you know?
Yeah.
And I just thought that was interesting.
I don't think I've ever seen that. I didn't realize that was the plot of that movie.
Yeah.
And that's hilarious.
Well, and then it's a romantic comedy. So the real plot is that Tom Hanks and the owner of that independent bookstore are like in a...
Is it Meg Ryan?
Yeah, they're in a romantic relationship through AOL Messenger, which also feels like it's from another time, because it is. But they don't know that who they each of them are, right? And so they're falling in love, not realizing that they're competitors. It's based on an old Jimmy Stewart movie called The Shop Around the Corner.
Yeah, that's it's still such that's a great premise. Like, you know, I mean, I know that that doesn't hold up as well because of the technology and all that. But I mean, the premise of, you know, not to be too cute, but like, don't judge a book by its cover. You know, you can judge someone and have these feelings and then not even know, you know, if you, it's kind of like a blind taste test. Like, you don't know, but you have no preconceived notions and you could get along on all levels. And then you look at whatever the brand or the person and just like, I don't like that person. But, you know, it's like that holds so true with people's thoughts today on whatever. Yeah. Like, you know, it's a smart premise for sure, but that's hilarious. I haven't seen that since VHS, like when it came out.
Yeah, I've never actually seen it either.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's just one of those movies I never got around to seeing.
Yeah.
That's probably for the best.
So, I don't know.
Whatever happened to Meg Ryan? I feel like that's an actress that was like tippy-top A-list, and now she's gone. She broke the heart of Dennis Quaid, and America never forgave her.
Right, there you go, exactly. So, yeah, I think she's...
Is she with John Mellencamp? Wasn't she with John?
Oh, I don't know. She was definitely with... She was married to Dennis Quaid, right. And then I think she cheated on Dennis... Well, she got with Russell Crowe.
Oh.
Like, and that kind of ended the Dennis Quaid relationship, and then I don't know what happened after that. So I said, America never forgave her. That was it. She left America's sweetheart, Dennis Quaid. I don't know.
You know what? If when I Googled Meg Ryan, the second video that came up on the Google result is, here's the affair that almost instantly ended Meg Ryan's career.
It was Russell Crowe,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it says Ryan and Crowe met while filming Proof of Life in 2000.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So anyway, you know.
20 years ago.
I'm sure she has plenty of money and just, you know, she doesn't feel like subjecting herself to that and, you know, whatever.
She's getting that Jor-El. Never mind.
She's not still with him, is she?
No, I don't think
okay.
So.
I'm like, I don't think, yeah.
Okay, so she was with John Mellencamp, and they were engaged, but then they ended their engagement in October of last year, so.
Russell Crowe came back in the picture.
Well, you know, and I want to say, just because this is a quote from her, so we don't, obviously, we're not that close to the situation, but she did say on Oprah in an interview, it was a great story, but it wasn't the story of the reality of my marriage. Dennis was not faithful to me for a long time, and that was very painful. And then she added, quote, Russell wasn't a homewrecker. I did not leave my marriage for him. I left because it was not working. So her side of the story is like, apparently there was some funny business.
I'm sure Tiger Woods would say the same thing.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm thinking that, you know, yeah, she may have on paper had an affair, but it, to her point, it's like the marriage was over long before that. So. Just don't want to be on the, like, you know, oh, poor Dennis Quaid, you know, who knows what he was doing. So, yeah, theaters, question mark?
Yeah, I watched WrestleMania last night.
We actually talked about WrestleMania.
You can't have Wrestling Corner without me here. Oh.
Too
That's
late.
Not fair.
We can't chew our cabbage twice.
Yeah, we can, and we did.
Yes. So you'll have to listen to this week's episode to hear all of my insightful opinions.
Unbelievable. Did you watch it, Tom?
No, of course not.
Oh.
No, I told him about...
I
told him about the high school student film project that happened.
It was awesome. Like, it was ridiculous. It was ridiculous. It was ridiculous in all of the great ways that wrestling is ridiculous.
I was telling Tom, I'm like, okay... Wrestling, we know, like, yeah, okay, maybe it's staged, but they're doing all these physical things, and it's live, and it's all happening in one take. I'm like, what, when you film a wrestling match like a movie that clearly has all these cuts and angles, it's like, what are you gaining? Now you're not even pretending like it's real.
It's so there was a so Matt Hardy did something like this called, it was called the Ultimate Deletion, and Matt Hardy's character is just this wackadoo, you know, he reinvented himself in this different company, and it was so ridiculous that it was the highest rated thing on TNA, which is like the third wrestling product at this point. And it blew up. Like, the YouTube views were ridiculous. So they tried to do something similar. I thought it was, given the Undertaker's limited ability at this point.
Yeah, that's the other thing too.
It was the best thing they could do.
Were able
it's like
to...
watching one of those John Wayne cop movies from like 1972.
Yeah,
that,
yes,
you hit the nail.
And he is like he's that character, right? At this point, he's just the old man who, you know, the younger guy was like, oh, like, you know, he used his. It was kind of in promos. The other wrestler, AJ Styles, is using his real name. Like, he's not calling him the Undertaker. He's talking about his wife. So you just have a different version of this character.
and he just can't move the way he used to.
Yeah.
So I feel like this was the best way to make him look like that old gunslinger.
That's why they did it. You hit the nail on the head. The reason they made it look like a movie instead of a wrestling match is because they could film, you know, all these angles, all these cuts. They edited it together with, like a movie. They even had like special effects type things with his logo and lighting and everything. But Tom and I earlier, you'll hear it when you listen to this, but we referred to it as Taken 3, Liam Neeson trying to jump a fence.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's exactly what they did to Undertaker.
Taker can still do some stuff.
Well, sure.
Like, you know, he could, you know, but
if he says, oh, my back in the middle of it, it's not like he's on live TV going, oy vey.
He's also in there with probably the greatest in-ring performer of this current generation. You know, AJ, if they would have done something in the ring at WrestleMania, AJ Styles would have made him look like $1 million without a problem.
Yeah.
But I thought it was fun. Like, it was a weird show. You know.
But like at the end, okay, they're doing this like a movie. They clearly have all the angles, the special effects, they're cutting it, whatever. It's like then they show him pull up with a bobcat full of dirt and he dumps it off camera. It's like,
sure.
Clearly he was not, AJ Styles was not in the grave. Like, why
absolutely
did they
not
do, why did they not do a more convincing? It was ridiculous.
You know, I feel like you're expecting too much from the WWE and their film crew. We've seen their films, yeah. Kevin. We know what they're capable of.
Oh God, I saw the preview for the one coming out on Netflix about a kid that becomes a wrestler.
I can, you know what? It looks like it's a kid's movie and I can forgive like the garbageness of it. You know, it's no worse than the Big Show's TV show.
No, you get a certain level of pass when you're making a kid's movie.
Yeah.
Totally. It's just, but you're right. We've seen the level of the quality. but I know when that kid's movie trailer came up, Ryan's like, is that out now? When's that out?
See,
so it
worked.
Right. For the target audience.
It hit exactly what they wanted to hit. Yeah, it was fun, exactly. Man. Like, at least they tried. You know, like that's the way I feel about it. The people in the athletes in the ring did the best they could. I think some of them had some really good matches. Yeah, it was what it was, and we'll get night two tonight. So, you know.
The audience thing was weird.
It's
it
very
was so
weird.
Quiet. And then I told Tom earlier, again, the weirdest part was the in-ring introductions
going
to silence. Like, I don't know why they had them still hold for applause and didn't do some kind of audio package, but, like, they announced them, like, you know, in the corner, whatever, and then they just, it was silent. It was like crickets chirping.
Yes,
it was so weird.
It'll be nice to get a live audience back in front, you know. And people have said that, you know, that a lot of those guys on that roster wrestled on the independent scene, and a lot of them wrestled in front of like 15 to 20 people, and half that people were the other wrestlers. So it takes a different skill set to be able to work a match and still make it work without having a crowd there, rather than guys who came up in the system who have always had a crowd, if that makes sense.
I will, to their credit again, and this is obviously way beyond anything they can control, but to their credit, they did an amazing job with what they had, because the fact that they were working their opponents and had no crowd to feed off of, like, they made it look easy. I mean, it looked weird, but they made it look 100 times better than anyone that has never been in that ring could ever make it.
Right,
so, I mean, you got to give them credit. And, you know, Ryan and I had fun watching it. It was
the bottom line, right? Like, there's no live entertainment going on right now. It doesn't exist. So at least they tried to give you something, you know. Yes, it was taped last week. This is in the can, so they can edit it and do what they need to do to it. But at least they tried. That's my feeling on it.
It's weird having no audience and being able to hear everything they say.
I love it.
Every yell, every talk, every, like, it's so weird when they're just like, wow. And then
talking smack.
And the referees, you can hear the referees.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
I will
weird.
Give them more, like, even more credit is you can't hear them calling spots. Like, that's
oh,
usually,
yeah, true.
You know, like, that's a big thing is, like, they'll call things in the ring and you can't, and usually you can hear it. Like, if you say, you know, Becky Lynch is notorious for this. Where she just, and John Cena, where they just talk too loud, where you can hear them call, you know, like duck down, leapfrog, clothesline. And you're just like, well, now watch what happens. But you could hear them talking garbage, but you didn't hear them calling spots.
Well, it's not live, Joe. That's
that's true.
They were
that's
able
a
to
good
edit
point.
Any
yeah,
audio out
point.
They wanted. See, and that's the thing is with this. I don't know why it wasn't a little more polished, especially with the introductions, because they had a week to edit it. So it is weird that, like, you know, I don't know. But it was what it was.
Yeah, night two's the night. Let's go.
Yeah. So anyway, well, I guess that's the news. We'll have to see what continues to happen with AMC and, you know, if someone decides to take it over and what will theaters be like when, and that's the really the big question mark, how long will this go on?
What are we thinking? Are we saying, are we saying like August?
End of summer at least is what I, yeah. I don't think it's any earlier.
Yeah, isn't the next, the first major release like at the end of August right now? Wasn't, isn't that where Wonder Woman was pushed to?
Well,
Yes, I thought Wonder Woman was
that. I think it's Disney. Disney's the one that put their that pushed their stuff to end of summer, which I think that's just wishful thinking. I think they're placeholders. I don't think that's any, you know, an identifier of.
Here's the problem that they're going to run into, especially those huge, huge tentpole movies, is even if you can go to the theater at the end of August,
are you going?
Beyond that, you won't know for sure until a week, maybe 2 weeks out. And then will you have time to appropriately market a movie like Wonder Woman, like Black Widow? You know, I think that's why you're seeing so many of these movies get pushed a year, is because they know that there's so many moving parts to those marketing plans. They can't, it's not just like do a quick TV buy and launch this movie. And so they're going to have to, they need a lot of time to ramp up. And I think that's why the one that was the smartest, as much as it pains me to say it, is Fast and Furious, when they were just like, F it, we're going out a year.
Yeah.
Because they know they need that build up. And so, and they had the advantage of, they had filmed two at once, and so they just moved part one to where part two was going to be.
Sure.
They just kind of, you know, not to call my shots, Joe, but they leapfrogged it.
They leapfrogged. Well, I'll tell you guys this, though. You know, to your point, Tom, yes, they have to ramp up the marketing, and they have to tell people when these things are opening back up. But also, because you can go to the theater, will people? And I will tell you right now on this podcast, the day they open theaters back up, I will not be at the theater. I will guarantee you that.
No,
I mean, nope. I'm not going back day one. I mean, there's no way. So like, this is going to change things for a long time. And you know, I'll do the show, but like, if there's an only theatrical release and it's the first week things quote unquote get back to normal, I'm not going to be there. Hell no. I'll have a newborn at home. Like, I'm not.
Oh yeah, you
that.
Really can't go anywhere. Yeah.
I will not be going anywhere for a long time. So yeah. I guarantee I'm not the only one. So just because you can doesn't mean people are going to be like, oh, we're better now. Like, yeah. This is going to be a year or so of trying to figure out how to get back to normal. So I don't know what is going to happen.
Well,
honestly.
Didn't Disney pull Artemis Fowl?
Like, yeah, I think going straight to
that's
Disney
going straight
Plus.
To VOD.
Oh, it
yeah.
is.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I didn't
yeah,
know that.
Yeah, they pulled that one.
I don't know that it's going straight to VOD.
Oh,
I think
no,
it's
no.
going straight
you're
to
right,
Disney
Tom.
Plus.
Straight to Disney Plus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah. But you know, that's another thing too, is that these platforms that have they're trying to build their subscriber base, they're in kind of a nice position. Again, it's not as good as making money, but when you have a movie that has zero buzz, like Artemis Fowl, people are like, "Where was this movie 10 years ago or whatever?" Like, people have been talking about there's not a huge like love of that franchise anymore to where people are going to rush
out. Is that the deal? Like, it should have come out like 10 years ago?
Yeah, like they didn't capitalize on the popularity. And so everything I've seen online and heard people say is like, what? Why are they doing this now? So if you have a streaming platform, instead of taking the big L up on the box office, maybe they can get, you know, hundreds of thousands or millions of more subscribers and get a win that way. So at least they have the capability to do that. And, you know, not just, I mean, you know, otherwise it'd be like, oh, Artemis Fowl is going to lose 150 million in the box office or whatever, you know, like a Call of the Wild type thing.
Or what was it? Not a Wrinkle in Time.
Well, yeah, that was a big,
and Tomorrowland.
Yeah, it seems like, It seems like as much as Disney crushes it, it seems like every year they have one movie that just totally tanks.
Yeah,
and this was probably going to be that movie.
Yeah, yeah. Probably. Yeah, that's true.
So, well, that's the news.
Awesome. Well, I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the virtual table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21.
I don't know who that was because he didn't have an introduction, so that's weird.
Yeah, that's so weird.
I'm super sneaky.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter, or after my rant, unfollow me on Twitter. I don't care. At Roger Kubert, or on Facebook at facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. And you can find the show online, facebook.com/Real Spoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group. Wherever you're getting your podcasts, be sure and subscribe so you never miss an episode. And, of course, check out our Patreon, patreon.com/Real Spoilers. $5 a month, and you get all sorts of bonus content. So coming up on the next one, again, no theatrical releases. So we figured for a while maybe we'll focus on sequels that should probably never have been or were just really weird. So and this one actually also falls into the 0% project I found out after selecting.
Is it really?
So coming up on the next... Yeah, which is rightfully so.
Well, after seeing last week's 0%, I will no longer be able to just say, oh, this movie's a 0%. Like, you cannot judge that. I mean, you watch these back-to-back, and you tell me which one you liked better, you know?
Oh, totally. Like, at least it was a coherent story, yeah. So coming up on the next one, we will tackle a sequel to one of the, really, honestly, one of the best movies ever made. I mean, it was a phenomenal film. It won 7 Oscars. And so 10 years later, they decided to recapture the magic, he said in air quotes, with The Sting 2. So if it didn't exist, you would think that was a joke. But it does. And we will tell you all about it on the next one. Until then, you've been warned.
Sugar and spice and a taste for vice.
I am Veronique Lafleur.
She's awfully good.
I'm Elizabeth Windsor.
At being bad.
I'm Veronica Sherman.
And with her in the game, they all...
Bye-bye.
...can be had. Jackie Gleason, Mac Davis, Terry Garr, Oliver Reed, Carl Malden. The Sting 2, rated PG. Join the fun now at theaters everywhere. Check newspapers for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.